The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 1st, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Welcome, Ken. Good morning.
Good morning, Elaine.
Oh, my goodness. It was a hot day yesterday. And it's a hot day today, you know. Just listening to Amy Goodman, I just go, wow, I don't know what to think anymore. Well, I'm really excited. Joining me in the studio today is Dr. Raquel Holmes. Dr. Holmes is an accomplished cell biologist and a pioneer building inclusive developmental science communicating with improvisation, which was just so fascinating to me. And she's also going to be here to talk about the festival, the Freedom Festival. I cannot believe, you know, Margaret Mead said, never underestimate the power of one person. And I have to give that to Dr. Holmes. I mean, I read this whole idea about the Freedom Festival, which started on Juneteenth, and we're going to talk about it, and it ends on July 4th, which are both 2 days of very strong Independence Day. You know, Juneteenth was really the final announcement of independence for our African-American citizens, and then, of course, July 4th. And it's so interesting with July 4th coming up and all the rigmarole that's going on in the country. You know, I think that what we should do, instead of going to all these sales, I mean, when I look at the paper, all I see is sales. This come to the 4th of July sale. There's nothing telling anybody to read our Declaration of Independence. You know, I did a show about a year ago on the Declaration of Independence because my son-in-law is born on July 4th, and I was doing a card for him, and all of a sudden I asked myself, wow, I know I had a civics class, I know I read this Declaration of Independence, but what is it all about? And when I read it, I thought, oh my God, what a country. We don't even know what we were promised through the Declaration of Independence. And when we look at some of these decisions that are being made, we ask ourselves, did they read the Declaration of Independence? I mean, do they understand what the United States is all about? I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Well, the Freedom Festival will be offered from California to New York, and Raquel's going to tell, it's okay if I call you Raquel, right, Dr. Holmes? Raquel's going to tell us all about the Freedom Festival, what motivated her. You know, this is their second year, and how they organize it, I just can't wait to hear how she does it, because it's just an amazing and amazing and amazing event. Well, I have one announcement to make, and actually it's a few announcements. My friend Susan Lamont, she finally sent me a list of all the protests that are going on in Sonoma County. And you know, it's really interesting. Hi, Susan. I hope you're listening. Well, here's a few. And many, what these protests are all about is to have a permanent ceasefire in the Middle East. And the reason they're calling for that is because once we stop warring and decide to sit down and start, you know, working, you know, the first letter in war is W. Well, I think the first letter means working things out. You know, working things out. I mean, that would be make the most sense to me. So here's a few of the different events that are going on. Every Wednesday at the Sebastopol Peace Wall in Sebastopol, every Wednesday from 6 to 6:15, only 15 minutes, they're just going to gather and say, hey, we want peace. Also, every Thursday, there's also going to be a ceasefire at the Healdsburg Plaza on Healdsburg Avenue, and that's from 6 to 7 o'clock p.m. Like I said, these people are calling for peace. You know, we look at people when they're out there protesting, and we say, well, you know, we call them all kinds of names. But the bottom line is, what they're out there for is for peace. And when you look at some of these war zones, and you see some of the children walking around and not eating, not even knowing where their parents are. I mean, just imagine if that was your child. So I would really recommend that people support these efforts. Come out and say, we want peace. I mean, we the people have a voice if we utilize it. You know, there's a song by Ellen Barksdale and says, by my silence, I give my consent. You know, that's very important to look at that. By my silence, I give my consent. Well, I refuse to be silent. Then also on every Friday from noon to 1 o'clock, it's going to be in Bodega Bay on Main Street. Excuse me, on Bodega Highway in Sebastopol. And then every Saturday, there's a vigil for a permanent ceasefire at the Helen downtown plaza in the Helen Putnam Plaza. So that's a lot. You know, there's so many things that you can get involved with. And I just want to let you know that all these different events will be listed on www.womenspaces.com. Well, like I said, my son-in-law's birthday is going to be July 4th. So July 4th becomes very special to us. So happy birthday, Dave. And I look forward to celebrating with you this year. Well, like we do every Monday morning, the segment, Our History is Our Strength. Now, why do I do that? You know, why every, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I wonder if people go up there and say, oh, there she goes again, our history is our strength. Well, it's very important that we know the shoulders that we're standing on. You know, there are many, many, many women who came before us, who gave their lives, who gave their positions in the world to fight for peace, for fight for women's equality. You know, and in 2024, you know, it looks like we're going a little bit backwards. You know, and as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother, and a great-grandmother, I am a little bit pissed off about that. So women have to start standing up, expressing themselves, and saying enough is enough. No more wars, and get out of our bodies, and let's take care of our children. Let's take care of that which we bring forward in the world. I don't care if you're a mother or not. I don't care if you've had a child. If you're a woman, the Creator gave you that capacity, and it's very important that we protect it. You know, I look at the Native Americans. They're talking about the Ten Commandments. Next week, I think I'm going to read the Native American Ten Commandments. I mean, that's something to really look at, especially the love and the respect of the earth and of women. It's very, very important. Well, today is July 1st. Ooh, where did June go? I mean, I can't believe it. I mean, life goes by too fast. I wanted to slow down. Come on, slow down. I can't believe my great-granddaughter in September is going to be 6 years old. I have to scratch my head. I say, how did 6 years fly that fast? Well, listen, let's just talk a few dates here. And the first date I want to talk about is July 2nd, 1979. And that's when the Susan B. Anthony Dollar was released. And folks, that was such a big deal. To have a woman's face on a dollar, wow, I mean, unheard of. So that is really something to celebrate. And then also on July 2nd, 1964, and these are some of the things they want to roll back. And I loved President Johnson. I am really sorry that quagmire with the Vietnam War, which later on McNamara comes out, who is one of his advisors, and says it was a mistake. But Johnson did so many wonderful things, especially he brought in the Comprehensive Employment and Training Act and provided so many opportunities for so many people. Well, on July 2nd, 1964, President Johnson signs the Civil Rights Act, Title VII, prohibits discrimination in employment. But also it included a lot about at that time we also had the Voting Rights Bill, which has been pushed back. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. It almost feels like we go a few steps forward and then all of a sudden we're just kicked back, you know. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to see the days anymore that we have people that you have to sit in the back of the bus. I mean, come on, give me a break. You know, these are important regulation, important laws that were put in place, and we need to stand up for them. Well, a very interesting thing happened on July 4th, 1876, and that was what happened is it was our 100-year anniversary at that time, and the suffragettes, they crashed the centennial celebration of Independence Hall to present the vice president with the Declaration of the Rights of Women, written by Matilda Jocelyn Gage, and also encouraged by Susan B. Anthony. that what they did was is they took the Declaration of Independence and they gave women the same rights as their as supposedly only men who had property had. Well, that's a lot. That's a lot to think about. And then a special birthday. And why do I celebrate these birthdays? Because these women really have to be honored. And not only that, what it does for me. You know, when I first started the show and I first started doing Our History is Our Strength, and I ran into, say, for example, Ida B. Wells, I thought, oh, my God, if Ida B. Wells can go into the South and write on lynching, I can certainly do a radio show, you know. Or if Ida B. Wells did that, I could certainly stand up, you know. And then I look at even Susan B. Anthony and all the suffrage. I mean, how they fought. And the final leg with Alice Paul, you know, being sent to jail, being waterboarded so we can vote, so we could have a place on the table. You know, it's very important to remember these things. And here we have on July 5th, Anna Hedgman. She was a civil rights activist and educator. She was the first African-American woman to serve in the cabinet for the New York mayor and was the New York mayor from 1954 to 1958. And she was the woman behind the March on Washington in 1963. She was one of the main organizers. So you can just imagine what this woman was feeling, you know, working, all organizing all these people to march, taking the chance and putting themselves up front when they all went and walked on Washington. An amazing feat. So happy birthday, Hannah Hedgman. Amazing. Amazing woman. So the whole idea behind Our History is Our Strength, to remind us of the shoulders we are standing on, and also to give us a little bit of courage. And you know, one of the first questions, if you notice when we do women's spaces, one of the first questions I ask the women that I interview, what was your motivation? Where did you get your confidence? You know, it's so important, because I know there's many of you out there that want to do something and you say, oh, I'm too stupid, or I'm too old, or I'm too this or that. No. You know, also, you know, this whole rigmarole around, you know, President Biden is really interesting about his age. Well, folks, I'm 84. Listen to me. You know, I consider myself an elder. When you become an elder, you have wisdom. You know, you have more available to you because you've lived more of life. You know, one of my regrets, to be honest with you, as I get older, is when I look back on my own life, I scratch my head and said, why didn't I listen to those old people? I remember my Auntie Dodo. She was always trying to tell me things, and I used to go, oh, God, okay, Auntie Dodo, you know, I know what you mean. But no, she was trying to share her wisdom with me. And another thing about older people that's very interesting, oftentimes they're not listened to. You know, and sometimes you need to ask them a question or two. And when it comes to Joe Biden, when you look at him, he's had years and years and years of experience. And I'm not saying, you know, we're not allowed to support any candidates on the line. So I'm not saying that. But we really have to look at the reality of what's happening. You know, if we don't look at the reality of what's happening, you know, we might lose what we have right now. And listen, I've lived 84 years in a free country. You know, I come from immigrants that came from pogroms, that came from Cossacks going into village and killing people and laying children on the street and say, get the hell out of this country. You know, we don't want that here. We want slavery again. I mean, what? We want women, they have to go to backdoor abortions? You know, why did I even support abortion? What am I just, oh, yes, let's just have abortion. No, I had an aunt who got into a really interesting circumstance and had to have an abortion and almost died. You know, so I know from reality of what it's really like when you have to take a family member and you have to get a backdoor abortion. You know, there's an American flag out I saw on Facebook, which is very interesting, with all these women kind of laying on the stripes. But on top, they have 48 hangers. Because that's how they did it, ladies. That's how they did it. And many of us died. And if we didn't die, we got infection so we cannot have children again. So there were all kinds of ramifications for that. And what an amazing thing it was when all of a sudden something happened to a woman that they could just go to her doctor and it's all taken care of. It's enough. Like, for example, for my aunt, her husband was having, she already had three children. Her husband was having a nervous breakdown, and all of a sudden she finds herself pregnant. oh, my God, she can't handle this. And then we went through that whole rigmarole of almost seeing her die and watching all the different people that were involved at that time. Oh, no, we got to save the baby here. My aunt's bleeding to death. I mean, it was a fiasco. So is that what we want again? And then put it into the state's hands? Then you get this opinion and that opinion and this opinion. This one believes in that. Come on, give me a break. And not only that, why are we so hung up on the fetus when we have children walking around that aren't even eating at night? So, you know, there's a lot of things to look at. And I realize sometimes I get a little bit opinionated. But lately, as a woman, as a feminist, as an educated woman, I am getting a little bit frustrated about things. So there's a lot to think about. Well, we're going to take a musical break. And I think I changed that song. Can I see the song list, Ken? Thank you, my love. Yes, I did change it. We're going to sing, we're going to hear this wonderful, wonderful song because I think it really has a lot to do with this whole Freedom Festival. And I think, I mean, just when I think about it, when I think about what's going on across the United States, one woman, a group, gets a group together and says, hey, we're going to do this. And here we are in our second year. It's just amazing. So we're going to start, we're going to sing, take a musical break, and we're going to play We Are the World. I love this one, sung by the Countdown Kids. Now, We Are the World was written by Michael Jackson, and I believe, I can't remember who the other person was that he wrote. Oh, Lionel Richie. It was Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie originally wrote this song. But this really says it for today's world. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play that song. And when we get back, I will be talking with Dr. Raquel Holmes. Dr. Holmes is joining me today to talk about the Freedom Festival and also to satisfy my curiosity about this improvisation idea that she has developed. And also, I want to do a special shout out. We actually have a wonderful audience today, a woman by the name of Martha McCoy. Welcome, Martha. She's sitting here. It's not every day that we have a visitor here. And I might invite her to take a few pictures and she could send it to us because it's always fun to have pictures of all of us in the radio. So let's go ahead, Ken. We Are the World. Let's go ahead by the Countdown Kids.
There comes a time.
I don't know. I just get so emotional when I hear that song. And I also get emotional about it when I think about how it was developed, what Michael Jackson did and what Lionel Richie did to bring all these people together and make this song. So it's so powerful, you know, when you start thinking about the children of the world. You know, they're the ones who suffer. And, you know, it's time that we start looking at things just a little bit differently. Well, for you just joining, I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. Joining me in the studio is Dr. Raquel Holmes. Welcome, Dr. Holmes. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you very much, Elaine. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a privilege. And I'm so excited. This is where I grew up, Roseland.
Right.
So the first 11 years of my life were right down the street.
Well, I'm really excited to have you here. I mean, I am just so impressed with your resume and some of the things that you've done. It's just such an honor to have you here.
Thank you.
So is it okay if I tell folks a little bit about you?
Please, of course.
Okay. So, scientists, wait, let me just read this here. You do the improvisation. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm having a little
fine.
Bit trouble with my glasses. She founded this organization in 1910. Can you talk just a little bit about the organization?
Sure. So
not 1910, 2010.
2010. Actually, so I started a business in 2010 called Improv Science. And Improv Science is what its name says. It's bringing improvisation to scientists and scientific communities. And it was named by the graduate students at Harvard that I was working with at the time. I had started bringing play to one of the programs to see what improvisation did for scientists, and they loved it and said it helped them talk to each other and do new things. And so I said, well, what should we call the business? And they said, Improv Science.
What does it entail? I mean, what are some of the things it entails?
Yeah, so as a business, I'm both a coach, a consultant, and a trainer. So I work with people who are CEOs. I work with managers. I work with people who are doing the day-to-day work. And I help them learn to see each other as people, to actually listen. You were talking about listening earlier, to be able to listen to the person opposite them and have a response that, like, builds with what the other person said. That's the improvisational nature. It's using play and our ability to be who we are and who we're not to do something new together.
Kind of open ourselves up. I know I love improvisation. It kind of just lets you expand your mind and your whole spirit to let you know how you're thinking and feeling.
It really does.
Let me just tell our folks a little bit about you. Like you said, you know, you earned a PhD from Tuss Sackler School of where was that located?
It's all in Boston. I went east to Boston. Tufts Sackler Biomedical School, something like that.
And then now here we are to talk about, I mean, I can go on and on. You know, I'm going to put your resume online. I could just go on and on. It's amazing what you have accomplished. And now we're going to talk also not only about your accomplishment, but also about this, this experience of the Freedom Festival, which I just think is an amazing, amazing idea.
Sure.
So, you know, you are an African-American woman, and you have accomplished so much. And not only that, you brought these new ideas into the playing field.
Yeah.
What motivated you? Who were some of your heroes? And where did you get the confidence all of a sudden to say, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to bring people along with me?
Oh, thank you. So I did. I went back to coming from Santa Rosa, Dutton Avenue. Like I said, just down the street is where I grew up. I went to the East Coast. And when I went to the East Coast to go to graduate school to get my PhD in biology, I also had some time on my hand. And I ended up at a gay wedding because I'm queer and met some people who were organizing on the street for a black-led, woman-led, pro-gay, pro-socialist, multiracial political forum. It was then the New Alliance Party, but bringing people together to advance democracy for everyone. And I happened to say, yes, I'll volunteer. I thought I was going to lick stamps and envelopes and things, but I ended up becoming one of those people who stands on a street corner and says, hi, take a minute for democracy. And then later, doing youth development work. Hi, take a minute for youth development. Hi, waving from a distance. Take a minute for youth development. And I learned from the people I was working with that this was a performance, right? It's not like you come out of the womb going like, hi, take a minute for mama's on youth development. That's not what you're doing. You're coming into a family unit. But it was that activity of grassroots community organizing where I got to see people coming from very different backgrounds coming together to create something that didn't exist. So I would organize predominantly white, middle-class donors to partner with black and Latino youth in Boston's Roxbury, Dorchester to create talent shows that they led, that they were singing, dancing. It was uncensored, unsearched. So they were our partners, right, in that building.
So where'd you get your chutzpah to do that? I'm just visualizing you. Here you are with all these white people. You know, here you are, right. An educated African American woman. Where did you get that? Well, that oomph to say
right,
yes.
Right. So I think a couple of parts. So one of the things in saying yes is, and it was a mixed group. So it wasn't just white people in terms of who I was organizing. The grouping that I was with was working class, poor working class people, black and Jewish coming together. Right, who were leading this, who were looking to support leadership coming from poor communities. And so in terms of myself saying yes, I think some of those things is like when I was a kid, when I said things like, Mom, I want to be a bookkeeper, my mom was like, okay, you want to be a bookkeeper? That means you need to learn math. Here's a math book. My dad, when I said, oh, I want to play football, he was like, okay, I'm in high school in Rancho Cotati. He goes and he talks to the football coach to see if I can play football. So they did the kind of ordinary improv of yes and. My kid said she wanted to try this. Yes, I heard her, and I'm going to offer something that can help her go in that direction.
I have to tell you a funny story about football.
Sure, sure.
Because I was at Sonoma State in 1973 to 1975, which was the height of the women's movement.
Yes.
And all of a sudden there came this letter from this young girl who wanted to play football, and they wouldn't let her.
Yeah.
And that's when they actually overdid, they revamped Title VI, where they were able, they couldn't discriminate against
right.
women. So by the time your father was telling you that you could play football, it was out actually the women, again, standing on the shoulders.
Yep.
So go ahead.
Exactly,
continue.
Exactly.
So you
were asked about the inspiration. So inspiration-wise, so the person who I signed up to work with in Boston on her presidential campaign, which was in her 1992 presidential campaign, was Lenora B. Fulani. So in 1988, Fulani was on the ballot in all 50 states, the first independent, the first African-American woman to be on the ballot in all 50 states of the United States. Lenora B. Fulani.
Well, this is the first time that I've ever heard of her.
Welcome to America. Exactly. So one of the challenges we have in the democracy, our country, is that we don't give recognition to the independent movements that are taking place that come from a grassroots level. So Fulani, there was just, like I said, a black Jewish community that in 1988 put her on the ballot in every state, which is an unheard of activity because, and you're seeing this for Cornel West now, for every candidate who's not in a Democrat or Republican party, the work that's done to be on the ballot is tremendous and is truly an expression of people's will because you have to collect so many signatures to get people on the ballot. Anyway, Fulani, on the ballot in 1988 in all 50 states, and then 1992 was running again and was the first to qualify for federal matching funds. So that's who I joined to put my voice, my legs, whatever I could do to bringing people together, multiracial, multi-class, something that would benefit us all. So that unifying theme of how do we create freedom for everyone, equality for everyone, because I come from a working class background. My parents, poor and working class, who became middle class. My dad was at Sonoma State. He was part of the Ethnic Studies program, one of the founders of it at Sonoma State in 1968 and 69, Lavelle Holmes. So,
that was your dad?
That was my dad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And Alice Ryan, his wife, Alice Holmes, those were my parents.
That is amazing. Because when I was in Sonoma State, I mean, we were so active with the women's mm-hmm. studies and the black ethnic groups
yep.
and also the Hispanics. And, I mean,
exactly.
it was like, your eyes were just opened, you know. And also, people don't realize how ignorant we were. You know, I remember I took a Native American class, and all of a sudden he was telling us about when the settlers put smallpox in the blankets. And I thought to myself, I just went and I said, oh my God, I always thought the Indians were the bad guys. And here comes my professor, walks up to me, this beautiful, beautiful Native American man. I mean, he was just absolutely stunning. He walks up to me. I was Pine at the time. He says, and Miss Pine, where did you learn that? And I looked at him, I said, from television.
Exactly.
You know, so how ignorant we were, you know. So doing stuff like you were doing was just amazing.
Yeah.
So go ahead. So continue about that.
Well, and I think, so in learning to invite people to come together. So my first introduction to performance, literally like theatrical performance, was this standing on the street doing street performance of organizing. And then the next one was the youth development programs, where we brought invited kids from different neighborhoods to come together and create a talent show. And this is in inner city Boston. This is where I learned the power of improvisation, because we used improvisational games for kids to get to know each other and for the volunteers, again, predominantly white, to get to know the kids, and so that we were working together as an ensemble. And people were growing and having these challenging conversations, and it was philosophical, political, growthful. And I'm like, I'm at Harvard, I'm at Tufts, we're doing science. How come this isn't growthful for us as scientists? Why is this environment so deadly, so isolating? So I wanted to bring that performance, that ability for people to work together, to create an environment that's joyful and thriving in scientific environments. And the play does that. Improv does that.
No, I have my guests send 5 questions, and one of the questions you wanted to ask was that how do you believe your work is actually bringing folks together and giving them the tools to work on peace and to work on living together and being together?
Right. Also, the scientists I've worked with over the years are people who have learned that they don't have to separate who they are as human beings from what they do in their science and just in living in the world. And so when Floyd was murdered and the Black Lives Movement became visible by people going to the streets, my colleague said to me, Raquel, what can we do? We want to be able to respond as well. And so I said, well, what's helpful? What will help us in this moment? They said, well, people, other folks in different locations are having conversations, like uncomfortable conversations, difficult conversations on race and class. And so we created uncomfortable, independent conversations where people could come to experience one another in ways that brought us closer together in the country and around in being able to have conversations on race in mixed company.
Well, one of the things that I've found out is for myself, I've been very involved because I live across the street from Nancy Rogers, who's very, very involved with many, many things,
yes.
You know, and she happens to be African American. And when I moved into the neighborhood, she was my attractor because I wanted my grandchildren to see that the world is not just white.
Exactly.
You know, they live up in the higher levels of, and so Nancy and I became friends. And one of the things that I have learned more than anything is that familiarity is what brings peace. Once you begin to see, hey, there's a mother, she cooks, she cries when this happens, you know, all the different things that we share as people, we begin to realize there's really no difference.
And I think to add to that in terms of the tools is the being able to use that familiarity, that relationship, to ask harder questions, to expose our ignorance, to say, oh, I'm curious, I didn't know that. We're still a country learning our history. We have been segregated. We haven't had the opportunity to learn what a perspective from New York looks like from the difference of Roseland.
Well, another thing that Nancy and I often say, we say, no matter what, when you walk across the street, I'm going to see a black woman. You're going to see a white woman. So what?
Right, right.
So what?
Well, and I think the so what is the racism of our history makes it as if then I can't talk to you because I'm going to be embarrassed about something I don't know. So the racism, the sexism puts a barrier for us to talk to each other in ordinary ways. So the play, which is an ordinary thing that we all do to develop and grow, actually helps create an environment where we can be like, oh, wait, you know, maybe we just played hoops. Maybe we just, you know, we're shooting basketball. Maybe we're playing soccer. Maybe we played chess. Maybe we made up a game together. It humanizes us in a way where we're like, okay, I've been looking in your eyes for the last 30 minutes playing a game. Can I ask you a question?
Right, and not to be afraid to talk about the struggle that you have sometimes. Because
exactly.
We are all brought up in families. There's all kinds of things that we're told. I mean, I was brought in a Jewish family. I hate to say this, but I'll tell you, a lot of racism, you know, a lot of separation. Right. And I always used to say, how could they be that way? I mean, they're an oppressed people. But I think what happens is we don't recognize that. Once we start recognizing each other, it starts to change.
And it leaves out that our country, the U.S., with the racialization of slavery and the consistent investment in an economic system that disempowered black people and continues to disempower poor people too, but the racialization allows for white people to go, well, at least I'm not black, and black people get treated that way. But that's a way of organizing us to be separate. So we actually have to actively organize something that brings us together and allows for us to learn our histories together.
Let's stop there, because now we're going to talk about the Freedom Festival, but we're going to take a short little break here. Is that okay, Ken? We're going to take a break here, and we're going to play one of my favorite songs by Della Reese. Can I have the... Let me get... I'll tell you, I'm really a little bit off today. Simple Song of Freedom. And this song is what's in my heart to be truthful with you. You know, I wish we could somehow, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to all. I mean, when you think about it, you know, people, we call ourselves Christians, and the teacher of Christianity, who was Jesus, says, love your neighbor as yourself, you know, identify as a human being one-on-one. So let's go ahead and play Della Reese's Simple Song of Freedom, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Raquel Holmes, and we are going to be talking about the Freedom Festival, and I'm really excited about that. So go ahead, Ken.
Me too.
I didn't queue up the right one.
What is that?
Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Oh, yeah. Let it fill the air. Tell it to the people everywhere. We the people here don't want no war. Hey, come and sing a simple song of freedom.
Sing about freedom.
You sing it like you've never ever sung a before.
Like you've never sung.
Come on and let it fill the air. Tell it to the people everywhere.
Oh, that we the people, yeah, don't
hey, listen, 700 million, are you listening? Believe me, most of all, what you read is made of lies. But while I'm here speaking, some folks don't mind doing battle. I'm thinking about presidents, prime ministers, and kings. I got this idea, let us fill them shells. Well, they can go and fight among themselves and just leave the people be who love to sing.
You know, it's so interesting. They say, sing a simple song of freedom. You know, really, freedom is very simple. Let's just stop warring, sit down and talk to each other, find a way. It's really simple. But we make it so complicated because there's so many interests. And what comes first, money and greed. I mean, we have to start looking at that. Anyway, no more rants. Welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I am in conversation with Dr. Raquel Holmes. And now we are going to talk about this thing that she developed called the Freedom Festival.
The Freedom Festival.
So, you know, I'm really excited to have you on the show. And what excited me the most was that you're one of the founders of the Freedom Festival. Talk about what that is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. How you developed it? Did you have a team? You know, what was your motivation? Right. And once again, where did you get the chutzpah to go ahead and put it in place?
So my answer to chutzpah each time is going to be community. Each and every time. And I think it's interesting because, and I was challenged by the question because, so I get to be the initiator, the starter, Improv Science sponsored the creation of the Freedom Festival. But of course, nothing is done by oneself. Nothing. No advance. It's all about collective activity coming together to build something together. So, so the chutzpah comes from the community. And you know, like I mentioned, the uncomfortable independent conversations, that was one context in which people were saying, we're going to cross this race line. Because when Floyd was murdered, people said, white people over there, black people over there, we don't talk to each other. There was lots of ways people were saying, don't talk to each other. And I was like, that doesn't work. How are we going to grow? How are we going to come together? So then I started looking at other things, and I learned of Opal Lee. Like I had not learned of Opal Lee other than when the Juneteenth became a national holiday. And when Juneteenth became a national holiday, I was like, I think as a number of black...
Wait, I have to stop you. Talk sure. a little bit about Opal Lee. Talk about what she did.
So Opal Lee led, there are different ways to answer this. Let me go with this one. She walked 2.5 miles in every state and part of a campaign of making Juneteenth a national holiday. Of course, that was done, as I said, not alone, but with other people. And there's a beautiful interview with Opal Lee and her granddaughter from Unity Unlimited. That's their organization. That is just gorgeous. But anyway, it was championed Juneteenth being recognized as a national holiday because it is a unifier. It is Juneteenth is the finalization of freedom from chattel slavery. We have slavery in other forms in the country, but we ended chattel slavery. Nobody could be born into slavery. But it's something that freedom is a call for everyone. And so that is what Opal Lee led. And she continues to have this voice saying, this is for everyone. This is our achievement. I was thinking, Abraham Lincoln is recognized because when the emancipated, the freed slaves and those and free black people joined the Union, we secured the winning of that Civil War. We did that, right? The formerly enslaved, freed, and emancipated won that war and won our freedom. We created this country again where people have freedom.
So that's why they call it the Second Independence Day.
I think so.
Oh.
I think so. Because really, like, it's a day where everybody, where that military order that came to Texas, to Galveston, said, let it be known that people are freed and they are considered the same. They have the same equality. That had never happened before, that it was completed. Our country came through on a commitment that was made with the 13th Amendment at the beginning of the year. And the Emancipation Proclamation had only freed those who had been enslaved in rebel towns. So it was the 13th Amendment that actually freed us everywhere in the country. And the beauty of celebrating from Juneteenth to July 4th, which Opal Lee called for, and that's why I learned that she said that, is that it actually gives a journey that for 4th of July, those who had been enslaved were not part of the country. We were not free. We did not get independent. So it's a conflicting, challenging holiday, and increasingly so considering we're still being killed, right? And that's just happened recently, and in many ways we can still look at the police brutality and the shooting and the inequality in terms of sentencings or justice. So it's conflicting. So going from Juneteenth, our second day of independence, I like that, our emancipation or freedom, to July 4th is a journey that allows for the reflection and the exploration and celebration of what we have achieved in creating freedoms and the exploration of what we haven't. We just had, as part of the Freedom Festival yesterday morning, it was Poetics of Freedom. Christiane Aldana, Ashni Ali, Rohan Jolie, they read their poetry of the current struggles for freedom that young people are leading around the country. What a gift to have an hour of poetry that speaks to current times.
Well, but that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you, well, so what does this Freedom Festival look like? I mean, you're talking about having events all across the United States. You know, that means it's 100 phone calls. It's all this black and fat. You know, I'm just visualizing.
This is the grassroots of it. So you get to invite anybody and everybody you meet. Say, like, well, what's your dream of freedom? What do you think about independence? What's it for you? What's it been for your family? Right? Like, and so there's a wonderful person I've met, Rachel's last name I'm not going to remember, but she's from Samoa and is looking at and does solar work. But she was like, I get to learn my Samoan history as I'm looking at how I can create an event that might be part of the Freedom Festival. What might we bring that celebrates our independence? San Francisco just has its first District 10, which is recognizing Polynesian culture. I think it's the first in the country. Why did I learn that? Because I had a conversation with a person I'm doing solar work with, and hey, you want to be part of the Freedom Festival? It's the one by one that Che Rivera talked about. How do you create a movement? You talk to one person and say, hi, there's this thing called a Freedom Festival. We're exploring and celebrating freedom and independence. What does it look like for us? What's the joy and the pain of it? What's your story? Can I hear your story?
Oh, my story. You know, I said at the beginning, I said I come from immigrants. We came from Russia and Poland. I mean, when I see these things where they do the cartoons with Trump and him, you know, destroying the Statue of Liberty, it makes me cry because my grandmother said when she came here and saw the Statue of Liberty, she just broke into tears. And when they got into Ellis Island, they threw themselves on the ground and kissed it.
Exactly.
Because they were here for freedom. This was a free country.
Yeah. So these are the stories that we get to tell in the Freedom Festival.
Wow.
And because they're moving, the discovering and sharing our untold stories that was offered as part of Let's Learn, which is a global initiative for free education for anyone online, is one of the examples of the many ways people are telling their stories in the Freedom Festival.
Well, give us an idea of how all this is taking place and how people can actually participate.
Happily. So people are volunteering. They're volunteering to host events such as the Singing for Harriet Tubman that I mentioned at St. Stephen's that happened yesterday. They're volunteering to work online as part of the production. And then also, that's the ways people are getting involved and participating is because it's all a way of giving to one another. And the other way that people are getting involved is they're becoming part of our 500 for Freedom. They're making donations. People are giving $20 to $1,000 to ensure that we have a vehicle for people to be independently creating culture together. What a fabulous thing from, you know, various different backgrounds. That's how we're doing it.
So if they go on the website, they can find out all that information, how to go into the different venues. What is, repeat the website again.
Yeah. So the website is freedomfestivalusa.org. It's all one word, freedomfestivalusa.org. And on the site, you go to events, and it'll show you the event that's happening tonight, Inspirational Ladies. Andy Anderson, a volunteer, young man from San Francisco, is inviting people to post. People like, and I put Lenora Filani on there because people don't know. She's somebody who inspires me. Put information about her there, and then we'll be speaking to each other at 5:30 about what they mean to us. So that's happening tonight, and you'll learn about the other events this week.
And I'm also curious, is Opal Lee still alive?
Yes, Opal Lee is still alive. I mentioned a beautiful interview that was done on Juneteenth of this year, which I actually posted a link to in our Facebook group. So there's a Freedom Festival, Juneteenth to Independence Day public group on Facebook that people can join as well, because the conversation of freedom and independence is ongoing, and we're trying to support everyone being seen in their efforts in this direction.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. I mean, I can't wait to go on the website and see what's going on and see how I can actually tune in.
And what you'll see there when you tune in is Parliament Brewing doing their trivia this Wednesday. You can even look at some of the past events, like at the Hallberg Butterfly Garden that we were at. And Johnny's Java still has the artwork that was from my dad's collection up
that we can see and have a cuppa. Have a cup of Joe while you look at the artwork.
So your dad's artwork is in there. That is amazing. You know, I didn't know he was an artist.
So he was a collector. So he has a beautiful collection of images that are from around the world because he traveled and really supported people getting new perspectives from traveling and learning other people's experiences.
Well, that's amazing. You know, I mean, I knew him from Sonoma State, but I had no idea, you know, so how we find that's the most important thing about this festival is just finding out about people, the different aspects and, you know, what they do and how they do it.
And it's great. You're right. It is a way of discovering each other and ourselves. I mean, like you gave us your story and also, you know, the Divine Solar, who I've been working with for an installation for me. One of the owners is from Samoa, and in her looking at how she could support or be part of the festival, started asking, well, what does my family have to bring to this? And as she was talking to her aunt, then learned and discovered that San Francisco has a new district that's a Polynesian district that was led and organized by Samoans, saying, hey, let's be recognized for what we've done. So the celebration and the lifting of one is part of the lifting of all. Right? And it's like, so with this festival, people have a chance to say, I want to talk about this. How can I do that? And we'll work with them to see what we can support. So if you have an idea, like I have poetry, I want to do a poetry reading. Great. Is there a coffee shop you can do it at? And then ask them if they'll support you being there doing reading the poetry. I bet Johnny's would do that. So then we'd list that as part of the festival. It's creative. It's supporting grassroots creativity. It is ordinary people doing something together that changes our world.
Well, that's what I believe. It's familiarity to begin with that brings us closer together. Once we know each other, once we have dialogue with each other, now once we see we're not going to hurt each other, you know, we can get along with one another. We can begin to understand each other's cultures and see what we each have to contribute to each other. I mean, just think about it. In the United States, what it would be like if we didn't have Chinese food. I mean, a simple thing like that, you know. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, and think about what would it have been if we had had many ways for people to come into the country in addition to that we restricted a lot of immigration by the classifications in which people could migrate, mostly by food. So you could come in and you could have a restaurant, but you couldn't come other ways. Think how rich our culture would be if we were opening ourselves to one another, in which we have all the ways that we're here as humans together.
An amazing thought, Raquel, an amazing thought, and I thank you for it. And I thank you for doing what you're doing, because this is kind of a first step. Well, listen, we're coming to the end. We only have 3 minutes left, and I'm going to give you the last words. Anything is in your heart, and if you go ahead and just let us know a website again, and let's just make it quick.
Anything that you've wanted to do that you're like, hey, this would be really exciting. I've wanted to have this conversation on our histories, a conversation with your family, a presentation of your artwork. Bring it to the festival. Talk to us about hosting an event next year. Volunteer. We need volunteers to grow this. That's what's going to make us continue to expand. Check out freedomfestivalusa.org. Donate. Become one of our 500 members that bankroll creating something new. That's we could do that. It's ordinary. It's a thing that we do together. And you are the creator. You are the creator, the activist, the organizer, the wonderful, powerful human, the woman in the world. Glad to be here with you.
Oh, just amazing. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Raquel Holmes, for being such a wonderful guest here in Sonoma on Women's Spaces. I really, really appreciate it. And the idea of the Freedom Festival, you know, there's a song, Freedom's Just Another Word for Nothing Left to Lose. We have a lot to lose if we lose our freedom. So something like the Freedom Festival is extremely, extremely important. Anyway, this is Elaine Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I've just done a wonderful interview with Dr. Raquel Holmes, who is one of the founders, actually the creator, who got the inspiration and the idea through Opal, through someone who, you know, through Opal Bell, who actually marched and walked to make Juneteenth a national holiday. So thank you so much. And please visit the website, participate. There's all kinds of things that you can get involved with. And a reminder, everything, every website we mentioned is on www.womenspaces.com. And as I do at the end of every show, remind our folks, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And to remember, we have to not only invest in children and in their future, but to recognize that children live what they learn. If they learn violence, they're going to be violence. If they learn love, they'll have more and more compassion and more understanding, not only for themselves, but for each other. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because the woman in your life is you, and who is sure to give you courage, and who will surely make you strong, who will bear all the joy that is coming to you, if not a woman in your life, as she's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 1st, 2024.